Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 425 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
How we doing, fellas?
Fantastic.
Big weekend of action.
The Just Prince great. Is and... back. The Prince of NRL, our saviour, is back on the park this week. So all is right in the world.
Panthers saviour for sure. And this again is one of the few weeks where all three of us can claim victory.
That's it.
Well, you know, we won the game.
Yeah, I mean, like we probably could have had weeks like this many, many times sooner, except for, you know,
yeah,
being let down.
Yeah.
I mean, we went 2 out of 3 so many times, it's not funny.
Maybe we should have accepted when Grover offered to come and host. Would have been a fucking party every week.
Imagine,
mate, you come up with some absolutely fucking bullshit this year that I've fucking copped on the chin. And I've just fucking ridden through it, and I've powered through your fucking ignorance. But that's a line which I won't allow you to cross.
Look, I'm going to have to side with you on this one, Glennie. I mean, that's just like, it's just an outrage. It's just an outrageous suggestion.
You can say, you've said shit about my fucking wife, my kids, my mother, and I'll cop that. But you ever fucking mention that cunt in the same breath as me ever again? I'm fucking done.
Oh, I love
Glennie,
you, Grover.
You're fired up, mate.
Sorry?
Glennie, you're fired up, mate.
No.
Already.
I'm okay. I'm all good. You just gotta.
You sure?
You gotta call out this shit. Otherwise, it just continues.
The way you've started this episode, it makes me think that you've been reading the publicity around Tiger Town.
I did catch up this morning.
You're getting into some sort of pissing contest with Madge about who says fuck more in an episode.
No, he definitely wins. Definitely wins. He's in a far more difficult
environment. So you're up to date, you said?
Yeah, no, I caught up.
How do you like it? It's great, isn't it?
It is great. And you cannot... Like, there will be a riot if they sack Madge at the end of the season. There will be a fucking riot. You can't
because
help
you think
but
he's
love
so
the
much
guy.
Good.
There won't be because they'll still be in lockdown.
Yeah,
we just had this discussion.
Yeah,
it'll be the world's first Zoom riot.
Based on... you're right. I mean, the episode does make him seem to be like a great guy. And I mean,
I don't think that's careful editing. Yeah, I think that's who he is.
He's probably getting the hero edit a little bit. You know, like he is the main character of the show.
This is what I don't understand about Tiger Town, though. Like the last dance was.
Yes.
Was as much for children of the 90s in general as it was for basketball fans and brought them, you know, to that event. There's a Formula One series on Netflix at the moment that I hadn't even seen that is apparently this massive fucking craze. Like my sister had never watched a live sporting event in her life. She's now sitting down by herself to watch Formula One.
Jackson started watching that series. He's enjoying it as well.
And so, like, these things, like, they're bringing people to the sport. What's Tiger Town doing? Is it designed to bring...
Tiger Town is backstage... No, it's not. Tiger Town is like backstage access pass for fans of rugby league.
Yeah.
Okay, so you would assume that they know that fans of rugby league understand something of the culture at the West Tigers. Is this is it poverty porn? As in, like, well, you know, for every person, like, you remember Struggle Street when it was on?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
There was that thing.
I never actually watched it, but everyone kept mentioning it to me for some reason. Like, I should have been in it.
But, you know, people sat down and watched it because it was poverty porn.
Mm.
Is that what Tiger Town's meant to be for League fans?
Well, we have we not had the discussion about how it came into being and
you've mentioned it a couple of times, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like this was like I won't bring any names into it because I don't know what I can say, but it was a journalist came up, watched something about a soccer club in England, I think, off the top of my head, and thought, wow, this is amazing. Should do something like this in, and so
hang on, we
this
can't
person,
say the name
pitched
because we know the person, or we can't. We've been told not to.
Yeah, I can't remember how much I'm allowed to say with the names and things like that. But this, but the journalist basically said this is a fucking great idea. Should do something like this for the NRL. Pitched it to the Fox on the basis of let's do the Tigers because there are these possible storylines. A, you know, there's always like they haven't made the finals for so long, so there's all that sort of stuff. So the end outcomes of this show, there's a number of possible storylines. They could make the finals. It could be like, you know, they could finish ninth again. The coach could get sacked at the end of the season if they don't make the finals. Like, there's all these possible ways it could finish up.
Okay.
And so that's basically the genesis of it. And we'll have a longer chat about this off the air, and so I could share the whole story. But yeah, that's basically the genesis.
Look,
of the
I
show.
Feel I've heard enough of that story now that I understand.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
Yeah,
and
no. But what I'll do is
name was
I'll
Bob
connect the
adds to that story.
I'll connect the dots for you though, okay. Like where everyone fits in afterwards. Nice. Anyway, so that's on again tomorrow night, and given we're recording on Sunday night and not Monday night this week, I may set something up. Seeing how I go for time, I may set up a watch along party or something for the next episode. Maybe we won't be doing it live, but you know, I'm happy to watch it and chat to folks while we're doing it tomorrow. It gives us a chance to sort of like test out the technology bit as well, and you know, for things, you know, future live streams and stuff like that, and just get that shit nailed down, because it was disappointing last week when that would all, you know, fell to shit.
I will say that the spray that Madge gave them after at halftime and after the game at Campbelltown for the Tommy game
was the Campbelltown one.
Titans.
Was the full time one the one where he walked out, or was that?
Yeah,
the-
he said. Righto, I'll see you at 3 o'clock tomorrow for review, and just fucking walked out.
Just walked out, yeah. it was great.
But and, the spray at halftime
the,
was
the good
fucking
thing is,
brilliant.
Yeah.
And well deserved.
It was. Oh yeah, absolutely. And I mean, there's going to be more of those sprays too. But with that second episode, the only thing I felt cheated on was the Manly game. They just put the tries over, like, to, you know, dramatic classical music.
Yeah.
And didn't give me any.
I
didn't give me
why.
Any, like, you know, because
they haven't really done that.
Or
they haven't
that
really stuff. Done that for any other game. I don't know why they did it for that one.
I reckon Madge probably killed Simon Dwyer.
Maybe.
And they didn't want to put it on camera.
Maybe. And also,
it was just like a bloodbath.
For all the bullshit that's been said about how Madge left the Rabbitohs and how the playing group revolted against him and all the rest of it, there's a hell of a lot of lingering respect for him from people like Adam Reynolds and the trainers.
Yeah, that was
John
good,
Sutton.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, yep. I thought that was even the fucking mascot.
And Reggie, yeah,
yeah,
yep. So, yeah, and the beautiful thing about Tiger Town is obviously these games have happened, so we know where the games were up to at the end of last episode, and so we know we got a fair idea of at least, you know, the first couple of games that are going to feature in the next one. And so you can kind of go back and look at the draw and see what happened, and you can get a feel for how bloody the next episode's going to be. And I haven't looked up the next one yet, but, yeah, I'm looking forward to it tomorrow night. Anyway, onto the matter at hand. The recaps for round. What round was it? 22. Yeah.
Richie round.
Thursday night. the Melbourne Storm 26 defeat the Canberra Raiders 16 at Sunshine Coast Stadium. The Storm had tries to Brandon Smith, Dean Eremire, Chris Lewis, Nicho Hynes, three conversions, three penalty goals to Pappy, one to Nicho Hynes, defeating the Raiders 16, a hat trick to Bailey Simonson, with Sam Williams getting two conversions.
I think the Raiders played like the like they were trying to scrape back some credibility against high level opposition. They were certainly very much up for the contest, although some errors and some fucking brain explosions probably cost them any real chance of winning the game. Melbourne's ability to repel opponents when I don't know that Melbourne were at their absolute best, but their opponents were definitely up for the contest, and they can just they hang in as well as like Melbourne just ride things out and hang in games when you know they might be you know short on field position or possession and just hang on and wait for the tide to turn. It's impressive to watch, and you know we talk about their systems and all the rest of it, but there's a, just the level of resilience that they have to ride it out and then wait for their turn and their opportunity and then capitalise. It's, I guess it's why they're leading the comp, but it's impressive to watch.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I think I feel like they defended mostly. They defended pretty well.
Yes.
Mm. But they were way off. Yeah, in their game in general was way below what we've come to see from them over this streak.
Yeah,
it certainly was. But that's the benefit of having a team that can slot that its comfort zone is excelling at very simple, no frills rugby league. You know, and that's something that's left over from the Cooper Cronk era, when that was their greatest strength. Whenever the Melbourne Storm were in out of a game a little bit, Cronk would reset them. He'd pull them back for a couple of sets, and there would just be some very simple one outs, get to the kick, he would put it in the corner, and they would just defend the guts out for it, and they'd just get back into their rhythm. And it's a fucking scary prospect that this Storm team has that as well. Because whether it was the way the Canberra Raiders came out of the blocks at them, and they did come out at them hard.
Yeah.
Or there was something else going on. You know, obviously there's some positional changes happening at the moment with players coming back and having more minutes, and then where do you put the other guys? Maybe they were just a bit off. But when they needed to, they could just slow things right down and really focus on what they do well. It's a fucking scary prospect.
Mm. What do you think of the CHN tackle on Jerome Hughes?
It's pretty fucking, it's pretty bad. Yeah. Like,
what I will say is the level, I'll give him the level of remorse that he showed on the field and after the game.
Yeah.
Respect for that.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say as well. And we can compare and contrast that to an episode that happens later on in the round as well.
Yes, we can.
Which had none of the respect and remorse that CHN had. I mean, like, he knew immediately what he'd done, and he was immediately like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to do the right thing. Obviously, you can't do the right thing. There's nothing you can do at the time after that. But, you know, just his actions, you could see that, you know, what he was going through as well at the time, and then his actions following the game.
Exactly. And as far as tackles go, you know, it was bad in terms of the outcome. But I think the cause of this one isn't as bad as some that we've seen. You know, it wasn't just sticking out an arm and fucking someone.
Yeah.
His crime was he didn't bend down low enough.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to absolve him of any guilt. They were put on fucking warning, change your technique. But all things considered, I think for an offender, he's handled himself respectfully.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Socials on that one. Aaron, in the Facebook group, said the two greatest words in the English language, sports bet, early payout. Three. Lachlan said CHN's moved on from taking Hymans to taking Heads.
Oh.
Toto.
Well, I mean, like, let's, yeah, in that incident, let's be clear. He banged a teacher.
Did he bang the teacher? In that incident.
So, yeah, Ockenbaugh was the one that hit the student. Fuck. So let's just clear that narrative up.
Well, are you clearing it up? Are you clearing it up, Nathan? Maybe the teacher was a virgin.
Because I'm going to guess without looking at all the three socials that we lean on for the comments for the game, I'm going to guess that wasn't the only one referring to him about fucking the schoolgirl.
No, there wasn't. Far from the only one. Well done, David Lee Roth and Grover. Said thanks for the opposed training session, Raiders. Just sharpening our skills before the finals. Oof. Ben said Hughes will be taking a much smaller bus to the next game. Josh said, there's your blueprint. Rough them up, don't let them dictate terms and take it to them. Then don't have a seven named Sam Williams. Toto said, with a minor premiership pretty much locked up, Bellamy tinkering with the rotations like a mad scientist. Two hookers, two halves and two fullbacks on the same time. Is this the future? There you go. Hammers says, Melbourne are too good. Even when they look beatable, they're still far better than anyone else. Canberra dragged Melbourne down to the level and still got handled. That's a very apt description. That's us.
Right, okay, moving on to the Friday games. The first one, the Penrith Panthers 34 defeated the Dragons 16 at Suncorp Stadium. The Panthers 34 came through a double to Brent Naden, a double to Dylan Edwards, Matt Burton and Paul Momorowski with tries, Cleary 5 of 6 conversions. The Dragons side had tries to Ravalawa, Bird and Amoni, and Lomax 2 conversions from 3 attempts. Off you go, Step Dad.
It was far from a perfect performance, but what a fucking difference to the confidence and therefore the gameplay that one player makes. You know, and it's well known, and we've said it 1,000 times before on the show, that, you know, Cleary's not out there making 50 tackles himself, and he's not out there telling people where to be in position and instructing them, but but it goes to show how much he means as a leader, where just his presence on the field and the amount other people look to him will dictate changes in their behaviour. They're a little bit sloppy early on, and obviously there are still some kinks to be ironed out with a couple of other players not suiting up. But the most impressive thing to me was that side, who just seemed to be confident that they can be in this for 80 minutes, seems to be back. That delayed gratification, as in they weren't rushing through everything, they weren't rushing to try and get points, and even when the Dragons had some success, you know, they didn't look phased, they just understood that if they kept going with what they knew they had to do, that they would eventually come out on top. And I think mentally that was a very important performance for them. I'm a fucking massive Naden fan, and I know that he committed a massive faux pas in, you know, his behaviour on and around the grand final last year, and the potential he had to derail the entire fucking thing, understated. You know, for whatever fucking internal reasons they were that he decided to do that, you know, not my place to comment, but the energy that he plays with and the almost single-mindedness when he's out there. He's a massive fucking talent and I think an underrated get for a team like the Dogs.
Been out of the side more as a punishment, or there hasn't really been, even with the injuries and stuff, there hasn't really been a spot specifically for him? Or a bit of both?
I would suggest the only way that it's not a punishment is the if it's not broke, don't fix it adage. And if you can look at me and say that Momorowski, who doesn't know how to fucking pass, or Charlie Staines, who's up and down in form and probably just not quite filled out enough yet for what we need out of a first grade outside back in terms of yardage coming out of our own end, If you can look at me and say that they've both been better choices every game than Naden, you're seeing something that I don't. Yeah. Mm. Then again, I'm not there at training, and I don't know how much clue. I don't know if Naden's got that fucking passive aggressive millennial streak in him, a la David Clemmer, where he was punished for something a long time ago and he can't get over it and he's self sabotaging. Who knows? Mm. But what a fucking stark difference in form he brings. You know?
Yeah. Then again, maybe he's not so different in form that they want to invest him in, you know, move him up like the power rankings for the outside backs, because then he's gone anyway.
That's
you know
it.
What I mean?
That's the last piece of the puzzle.
Whereas Burton brings so much more to the table. Burton is like
he's
a critical player with his skills. Yeah,
he has to be there. Yeah,
that's it.
Good sign that Cleary got through. And made plenty of tackles, didn't miss any with his shoulder as well.
There was one he sure as fuck didn't miss with his shoulder.
Yeah, there was there was one that he could have injured his shoulder completely on. Certainly put it to the test.
Thoughts on that and why that wasn't called as a shoulder charge? Was that like just a miss by the ref in the bunker? Or is it did he not place the arm?
I think it should have at least been a case to answer.
Yeah.
Whether he got any time from it or not, you know, remains to be seen. But I think for them to just not even address it at all, I thought was a bit,
it's a bit sus.
A bit weak.
Yes.
Especially considering, things that happened over the rest of the round as well,
For the Dragons, they went out there and they did as best they could. Like we said, once Ben Hunt was gone, they are completely rudderless. And
yeah, but the thing about the Dragons, though, is not being privy to, the way the juniors are coming through and all that sort of thing at the Dragons, as much as the Dragons fan would be, why on earth has Amoni been held back until this stage of the season?
I know, right?
When he was fucking brilliant. Like, his try was straight through the guts of the Panthers and spinning and, weaving through, like, 3-4 guys. And then the try he set up as well was fucking tremendous.
Mm.
That guy looks to be a player of the future. And you know what? They could have fucking used him in the side. Like, instead of all his conjecture over, Ramsey and Dufty and all that sort of stuff, I mean, why when you're carrying, like, Corey Norman all fucking season, why isn't this kid getting a crack there?
Especially when Hook has built his reputation on old blood kids into first grade and shepherd them through, as long as they're white.
That's why.
Well, there we go. We'll just answer our own question.
Yeah, but no, he looks to be potentially a great player for the Dragons. So I presume we'll see more of him next year.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, the coming weeks as well, but
interesting. Ben in the social said, "I reckon Nato was listening to the pod earlier in the week. The throwback intercept try, fucking oath he was. Big fan of the show, Nato is." Fucking backflip on that Doggies deal champion, and just there's a home for you at Penrith. I'll fucking brown paper bag you. $10.50 a week. John said, "Watching the Dragons attack is like watching Helen Keller auctioneering." And for those of you too young to get that fucking hilarious joke, go and Google who Helen Keller is, and then imagine her running an auction.
I mean, surely she has. I mean, for want of a better term, like brand name recognition, right, across the board.
I don't know if she does. My standard position is that millennials don't know shit.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I reckon that there are a dozen millennials that I would have phone numbers for, and I could ask any of them who's Helen Keller, and none of them would know.
Wow.
Yep.
Alistair. Said, "Can't wait to replace Norman with Norman V2, Moses Mbai. Fuck my life." Phil said, "Kikau is the king of the unnecessary silly play. Ivan better hope he's injured or suspended if they make the grand final." Yeah, he needs to get his fucking mental right. Nigel said, "Burton is an absolute weapon. If I was him, I would DCE coward my way out of that Doggies contract pronto." Fucking here's hoping. Devonhead said, "How fitting. On the 1-year anniversary of Mary sacking, we play full Mary ball and extinguish any hope of playing finals." Yes, you fucking did. At Leishman Chris on Twitter said, and just like everyone's favourite cylindrical savoury snack tubes, he's back. The prince of dexterity and ingenuity, the Dragons are a Sayo biscuit in comparison. Started firm and dry, but were left very salty and difficult to swallow for their fans. Hashtag Fury the Cleary. There we go. JDHD44 said, I'm not going to call Corey Norman a cancer, but only because I don't want to be rude to cancer. I wouldn't even call him a cum stain because that at least had some potential in it at some point. Oh. And did you see that a well-respected, by no one organisation, the Rugby League Players Association, came out in defence of Corey Norman?
So just go through that story from the start, though. Like, so what happened was Fox's coverage was focusing on, you know, like negative comments about Corey Norman, right?
Yes.
And yeah.
Now I didn't hear Fox's coverage. What I saw, was their statement. And
yeah,
look, they're a union. They're a players' union, so good on them for towing the line. But there's this interesting thing happening at the moment where three parts of it, criticism, actual abuse, and satire, are all being muddled into this one section and being called trolling. You know? Yeah. And
if they're being muddled in with like the racial stuff and the DMs about, you know, you fuck my multi, I hope your whole family dies.
That's it. I'll be waiting for you and I'll fucking cough COVID on you or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
100%. That shit's not okay. But after a poor performance, the reality is there is going to be comments on your performance on social media.
Yeah. You know,
and it can't be a catch-all to say that no one's ever allowed to say anything about a performance. You know, if you want that, start a private National Rugby League that people can pay to watch. And one of the conditions of paying to watch it is that you are allowed to make no comments about anybody's performance on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up until then, fucking RLPA, do something more about fucking actually improving the player's situation in and post their career than fucking saying people aren't allowed to post things on social media. That's my
fucking... Corey Norman's like, I mean, like if you want to defend players, I mean, get up there and defend, you know, you guys like Latrell Mitchell and stuff like that. I mean,
that's
like dying on Corey Norman Hill is not the one because, I mean, he fucking knows the rules. Yeah, like dead set.
Yes, only because he's breached them all and had them all explained.
More.
The only people that die on Corey Norman Hill are the stupid cunts that set fire their own fucking tent. So I feel like that the Rugby League Players Association, there's maybe one, two times a year where they rear their ugly fucking head, and it never quite makes sense as to why or what they're actually trying to achieve. And, you know, they could be, you know, to your point, Jay, they could be doing so much more and have so much of a stronger presence and be so more relevant than they are, and they choose not to, and this is the moment where they wave their fucking flag and saying, here we are. Ridiculous.
That's it. And again, I'll repeat it. It's never okay to, you know, go after someone because of their race or anything else akin to that. But at some
stage... And it's personal threatening and all that sort of bullshit.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's horseshit. But if we're talking about criticism, like, and again, to your point about millennials... We are in a world, you know, cancel culture and all the rest of it, where, you know, criticism now is something that's going to be taboo. Well, fuck me dead. Criticism is something that's been directed at players. It used to happen in the fucking papers when, you know, print media was a real thing. It happened all the time. People had jobs as critics. That's what they did. This is not fucking new.
But again. Yeah, so the issue is, like Stepdad said earlier, like the real issue is you can't lump criticism and banter in with the actual real harmful shit that shouldn't happen.
So isolate those and make your song and dance about those things. That's fine.
But this is the thing. In a year where there has been actual racist attacks on players and actual threats of self-harm because someone lost a multi.
Yeah.
There's been no or insignificant action. And then after, you know, a top three worst performance of the year by an individual effort. They're up there standing
who's
up
who's known
the
for these such performances lately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, from a club who has had that performance for years and years and years and years.
Yeah.
With many apologies. You know, especially after the barbecue incident.
Yep.
Yeah. Just read the fucking room, you dumb fucks. Next game.
Yep. Okay, so on to the Sydney Roosters, 21 defeated the Brisbane Broncos 20 in possibly one of the early NRL chaos contenders of the season. And the Roosters 21 came through tries to Isaac Liu, Dale Copley and James Tedesco. Kieran, three conversions and a penalty goal. Sam Walker with the field goal. And the Broncos, tries through Payne Haas, Jordan Ricci, Albert Kelly. Tyson Gamble, two conversions. Selwyn Cobbo with a conversion and penalty goal. And that's the way it was.
I think if the last 5 minutes of this game proved anything, it's that some sides find ways to win and some find ways to lose. The Roosters managed twice in the last 5 minutes to put themselves in positions to win, and the Broncos managed twice in the last 5 minutes to put themselves in positions to lose. I will say that the Broncos, and you know, with all the talk of clean out and Eichen coming in and cleaning house and, you know, shaking up the roster, etc. Obviously, the playing group at large has been put on notice that there is a clean out looming, and it does look like, due to the increased effort, I think they're still lacking in certain areas as far as skill compared to plenty of other teams in the comp, but their base level of effort has certainly risen over the last sort of 4 or 5 weeks. And if that level of effort continues into next year, they bring some other pieces in, you can see the Broncos are going to be far more competitive, you know, for the struggles that they've had over the last couple of seasons. And then you've got Reynolds' direction, kicking game, etc., over the top. So it's a bridge too far for them at the minute, but you know, over the coming seasons, I can see the Broncos, if they recruit well enough, which is always going to be a challenge. They don't have the, you know, they don't have the same pulling power as they used to back in the day, where guys had come for overs that unders. Sorry, they're now having to pay overs to get players, so that's a challenge in itself. But I think the pressure's on Ben Eichen really to take what they've shown over the last month or so and whittle some of the dead wood and bring some key pieces in and make the Broncos a competitive side.
And look, they started that process. I mean, obviously Adam Reynolds is a great get for them and absolutely, you know, changed things significantly. Plus, I mean, Kurt Capewell's obviously a great get for them as well.
Yeah,
he's just the kind of guy they need. But, you know, we'll see how they proceed next year. And look, I think Kevy's probably saved himself with their performances, though. Like, whether it's, you know, that they're on notice of a clean out, or whether it's whatever he's doing is starting to, you know, gel a little bit.
Yeah, I wasn't talking about Kevy. I was talking about the playing group. I don't think Kevy's been going anywhere at all at any point.
Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, he's not going year one, but I mean, like, let's face it, you know, if they got, you know, back to back spoons, it doesn't matter what they think about him or how long he signed on for, there's pressure. You know, because it's like we sacked the guy and got you in, and here we are with the same fucking results. So
we are a results-driven business.
Results anyway.
I was thinking about this a bit today. The difference in in Broncos fans and Dogs fans. And I know Dogs fans have been wallowing in this area for a lot longer than Broncos fans have. But Broncos fans seem to be reasonable enough to be okay with incremental improvement in certain areas, and especially improvement in effort and attitude. Whereas Dogs players, you know, they're fucking calling for people's heads and this, and the team's gone backwards under Barrett, and it's blah, 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 which I think is completely wrong. But Broncos fans seem smart enough, fucking surprisingly, to look at this team and say, well, hang on, we haven't copped the amount of 50 burgers we copped last year. You know, there has been an increase in the effort that they're putting in every week. It's not like it was where they'd get out and try for 10 minutes and then as soon as a try was scored against them, they'd drop their heads and that was the game. Like, you knew after 15 minutes whether it was going to be a 13-plus or not in the Broncos' losses. You know, whereas this year, they've gone up against, and albeit injury-ravaged Roosters, but still a team in the top half of the competition.
The injury-ravaged Roosters are still beating plenty of sides.
Yeah, exactly.
Good sides.
And they have been injury-ravaged long enough that those people are almost now, you'd say, permanent members of the squad. But the fact is, there were enough moments in that game, and I don't know if it's fear, where they just had to turn the screws a little bit because they were out enthusing the Roosters. And Teddy can do a lot of things, but this is where the difference of a good half and a serviceable half come in. Sometimes there are things that your half needs to do themselves to get you out of those positions. And it's where the DCEs, the Clearys, the Munsters really rise above. And I just don't think the Roosters' young halves are ready yet to do that. They're fucking close.
It's just that they say that term gets thrown a lot is game management. You know, that it gets bandied about. But, you know, it is a key ingredient. And you see some halves, and one place for my club, play many, many, many first grade games and never really get game management.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, it's the one that gets the good ones over the hump to be the great ones.
Can Victor Radley come back from... He is slowly turning into a fucking liability.
Not slowly.
Yeah.
This
game, he was a minute and a half or whatever away from being like literally the losing of this match.
That's it.
Yeah.
But now I'm a massive fan of the way he plays above his weight division and the way he gets in and gets his work done in defense and then he's just fucking punishing the lines he runs in attack. Massive Radley fan. He fucking lost me a bit after his little spit about, I'm not going to change my tackling technique. I've done it this long and blah, 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 blah. And, Robbo.
Yeah.
Robbo publicly pulled him into line on that one.
Yeah.
But it's at the stage now where it appears to be at, almost starting to frustrate his teammates with what he's doing. Is this a slope he can come back from?
Yeah, it does.
You reckon?
Oh, he can come back from it. I mean, and I don't know if his teammates are frustrated by it, but I mean, you can't argue that it's costing them, moments, and it could cost them a huge game. I remember, on this very show, his debut, I think it was against Manly, and he put a dog shot on either Marty Tapau or Dylan Walker, and it's kind of people, he sort of made his name, like, oh my God, what a huge hit. And I called him back then, and he hasn't changed in years.
Yeah, but see, doing that basically hitting people high,
but now they actually
is community.
But now they actually care about. Well, now we'll see. I'm not going to joke about players and CTE and everything. It's an important issue, stepdad. But
I think Dylan Walker getting CTE is an exceptionally important issue. I'd like to see it advance as hard as I can.
I think it was Marty Tapau. But the thing is, he hasn't changed. Like, he hasn't changed then, and now. Now the NRL actually cares about it. They didn't care about shit then. I mean, things like the sort of stuff that's getting sin bin now is like, you know, just going through to the keeper and not even getting a penalty then. But now, you know, whether it's, you know, his tackling style or the fact that or his inability to change what he does naturally when the game has changed, how it adjudicates on these things, then, you know, Grubs don't change their spots. Do Grubs have spots? Victor Radley does.
Jesus.
Look, the Roosters were yeah, okay by and large. I think it was the Broncos who were really lifted in this game. I mean, the Roosters like the okay. I mean, you know, you got the, you know, Hog Teddy sort of stuff came back into it again, and it just, you know, look, I'm not going to go over, you know, relitigate that again, but it does my fucking head in because we know how good Teddy is. And this, you know, this Hog thing that's coming to his game, he needs to go back to 2018 or 2019 and, you know, become that kind of Teddy again. But I tell you, the one thing I'll give Roosters massive respect and credit for is keeping your challenge in your pocket until the very end.
Yes.
is absolute big team rugby league play,
yeah,
within the rules. And the slightest sniff there, yep, okay, we can pull it out here. It's our last chance. And for them to then find, while reviewing the footage for the challenge, finding, you know, the slightest of love tap high shots in the footage, you know, thereby earning them a penalty that they then use to, you know, kick the winning 2 points for the game. I mean, that's just, you know, that's a team that's a culture of winning, you know, smart management.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, someone that's not so much.
I did see a bunch of questions about why Teddy could challenge it. And we will get to that in the comments. But essentially the issue was that the call stopped play, and the captain's challenge works on what the restart of play is going to be. Right, so a structured restart of play, a penalty, a scrum, a dropout will allow a challenge. Things like a handover won't. So because it involved a structured restart, there was going to be a scrum. That's why Teddy was allowed to challenge. For those playing along at home. Anything else you want to say on that one?
No.
Joshua said Coates is going to be a nightmare at Melbourne next season. Fucking Melbourne. Of course he is. Imagine that, kid. What's a multiplier you put on people when they go to Melbourne? Times 3, times 4 of what their talent is?
Yeah, I was gonna say 2.5. That generally... Yep. Oh,
conservative. Andrew said Teddy looks like he's chasing Dally M points. Darren said, no footer need a camp. Why is Tedesco allowed to captain challenge on the tackle when the ref's call was for a no play the ball? It wasn't a ruling on the tackle. That's a very good question. Teddy wasn't challenging on the high shot. He was just challenging on the ruling. Originally, they went in and they were trying to get it so that it wasn't about the play the ball or that there was interference in there. And they were just fucking lucky as shit that there was high contact leading up to
the footage and
yeah. So if there wasn't that high shot, that would have been challenge unsuccessful. Ruling stays, you know, game goes on.
Broncos ball probably play out the game.
Yeah, but there was contact with the head. Jason said, fucking love that we've got some steel and tenacity the last couple of games. About time. Tough game. Less six agains. I'm pissed and happy at the same time. Yeah, it's rough. Josh said, Teddy needs to watch 2018 highlights. He's better running off the half and 5/8, getting one-on-one with the centre. That's almost exactly what you mentioned, Nate, that he's got
a exactly, fucking, mate, exactly.
He has a textbook game plan written by fucking him as to how to be successful as him.
Yeah.
Go back to that. Tom said, greater effort from the Broncos. Just wish they could play to that level every week. Would hate to see a finals game decided in that way. Two correct calls by the letter of the law, but neither of them sit right with me, which is, I saw, I reckon, about a dozen people say something similar. And that fascinates me that you can sit there and say, yes, by the letter of the law, it's correct, but I don't like it or it doesn't sit right with me.
Commentators do that shit all the time. Like, how many times do you hear a commentator in a game where there's like some spectacular ball movement that goes the length of the field and they're going to score the try, yeah, except there was a little knock on somewhere in it, and they're like, oh, and they go, oh, does, just let, yeah, it go. I mean, it's so spectacular.
Someone, yeah, does a flip.
No, no, fuck. It's,
yeah, they do a flip, but they, yeah, step on the sideline. It's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
Well, no, that's the rules, mate. That's why they're there.
Yeah, Tim. Since saving a challenge till the death when the game's in the balance is a big brain move. Without that challenge, that high shot gets missed. Exactly. Even with the loss, the best performance, yep, we've, legend, had this year. Milford was actually solid, and I can see him having a Benji-style role at Souths. He was much improved. Mm. And as the last word, Nigel said, gotta love it when the battlers of the comp get an even break. A victory for the good guys. Yeah, like an idiot.
You know, actually, I blame their injury toll like solely on him. I mean, he's manifested this battlers thing.
Yeah.
Because he's been on that for 2 years. Yeah. So he's manifested their injury toll to make them battlers. The secret works.
And
wish, believe, which is ask, receive, believe, receive, done, done, done.
Adam _ is boring on Twitter. I said, as much as it hurt me as a Broncos man, I was immediately pleased for the laughs it will bring from the boys. There you go. Fuck me. You must be fucking deep in depression with your football team. What on the next one?
Please don't wish losses on your team just for our entertainment, man. Like that's
what the West Tigers, yeah, are for.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah, it fucking really is.
And I mean, and they are the fountain of youth and the never ending fucking provider of goodness. The Rabbitohs 36 defeat the Titans 6 at Seabus. The Rabbitohs 36 came through tries to Latrell, Adam Reynolds double to Mansour, double to Braden Burns. Reynolds 4 of 6 conversions and 2 penalty goals. The Titans 6 tries to Corey Thompson. And a conversion to Toby Sexton.
Your Titans looked at various patches of this game like they've thrown in the towel on the year, which is disappointing. They've still got.
Do you think they have though?
I just think periods of this game when they were that, right up right. against it, against Souths, and Souths looked like they were really on. I don't know that the Titans were really up for the fight, but. Having said that, they're still in with a, you know, legitimate chance of making the 8, which is and I haven't had a look at the Titans draw, if I'm honest, but there's no, you know, sometimes Souths are going to get on a roll against any side, no matter where they sit on the table or what sort of form they're in, and there's fuck all their opposition can do about it. I think Melbourne and Penrith are the obvious choices, and have been all season. And Manly look to be putting themselves on that level. Souths, it seems weird to say for a team that's going to finish in the top four, but compared to the other teams, you know, those other Manly, Penrith, Melbourne, Souths are going to maybe finish fourth. And they'll be the smoky. You know, like normally a team will finish fucking scrape into the 8, you know, Para years ago or whatever.
Well, Souths are pretty much locked in for third, aren't they?
Look, whoever wins this week, Manly will get a Souths or Penrith,
yeah,
gets second.
Okay.
As yeah, because like the Storm are where they are, and then it's Panthers and Rabbitohs fighting out for second, third.
That's right. It.
And then it's there's not enough games left for the Roosters to make a dent in that, or Manly.
Yeah, okay.
So,
but they
yep.
on when they're on, they are fucking brilliant, and the speed that they play at through the ruck, with and then Walker off the back of that, you know, in a big game. Sometimes things will go in a team's favour, you know, such as Souths. And when they get that roll on, like, I don't care if it's Melbourne, Penrith, whoever, that's tough to contend with for any team.
Mm. You talk about, you know, underrated or smokies or dark horse or however you want to call them. Somehow at this stage, Adam Reynolds is the fucking forgotten one.
Mm.
You know, he is expertly orchestrating 80 minutes of football for that team week in, week out.
Just hope he doesn't get injured.
Yeah, fuck, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
he's prone to an injury.
And he's always
It's coincided with him defeating his injury streak.
Yeah.
He's always had that in his game, that he was an excellent, you know, technical half. You know, he was the one that always made the right decision. His kicks were directionally amazing. His accuracy was phenomenal. And with guys that usually get those sorts of accolades comes the criticisms, oh, he should run more. His passing game could do with some variance, things like that. But he's now added, Glenn, you know, you spoke about it before, that game management piece, which has been there in some respect, but this year he's excelling.
Mm.
And it's what he's doing in the territory battles early in the game that really allow that Harlem Globetrotter left side to do what they do. He's having an unbelievable season, and if they get all the way to the big dance, it'll be on his shoulders.
Fair.
Now, just looking at my live ladder predictor, as I love to do, the first week of the finals...
The Titans draw coming up. Well, let's face it. That, yeah, okay.
So, do you want me to run through the Titans draw, do you?
Well, no. I mean, Glenn was just saying he didn't know what their draw was, and they've got the Storm next week, followed by the Knights, and then followed by the Warriors. So, like, Storm next week, I mean, we're going to mark that down as an L. The Knights is the crucial game for the Titans in 2 weeks' time because, I mean, both of those guys are, you know, they're currently, as we stand, you know, sitting in the eight. But I think if the Titans, I don't think they can afford to drop those 2 points. If they get the Knights, then it gives them a chance. If they miss that game, then I think they're done. But I mean, I don't think they're a team that looks like they've thrown in the towel. I think it was just laid bare the difference between the good teams and the shit teams. Not shit teams, but the teams that, you know, ones that are going to finish in 7th and 8th at best.
Scraping, yeah.
Look, I think the Titans need to lose to the Knights. Because, and hear my logic. Hear my logic. If they lose to the Knights... Oh, hang on. Why have I fucked that? I had that before. This ladder predictor.
I'm going to say, me and Glenn had a conversation last week after you'd left the phone and we went through the ladder predictor, and it looked very different to the way you were saying. So I'm not that convinced on
but
your ladder.
But I had the same look on my face that you have right now, Jay, and I was like, have I fucked something up? Because he was really confident.
Hang on, ninth.
I'm not going to recommend that the Titans lose to the Knights. They need all the 2 points they can get at this point.
Oh, no, so, don't worry.
I don't think there's any strategic tanking that can happen.
That game essentially... you know, determines their season. You'd assume they'd get the Warriors last round.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the Warriors have been going, you know, they've been going pretty well, and, you know, maybe it's a case where, you know, for the Warriors where it's kind of win and get in.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe.
So it might be a live game.
Although the Warriors are on 22 points. Whereas it looks like you need...
On your predictor at that stage in the season.
It looks like you need 26 and for and against. So who fucking knows? For and against could come into this. So
look, there's so many teams between 18 and 22 points at the moment, and many of them play each other as well. So there's going to be so many, you know, sacrifices of games versus each other and people stealing 2 points off each other. And
who knows?
Despite the foregone conclusion of the top six, whatever order they may be, there is a bit of, you know, interest and spice to...
Yeah, spot on.
7 and 8 that'll keep it interesting for people. You know, pretty much all the way down to like 13th.
I suspect there's a bit of spice for the rest of the season. Who finishes 9th? Also,
no spice. No spice.
No spice at all.
Tabasco.
That is fated. That is written.
Tabasco. Kevin in the Facebook group said, "I feel bad for the Titans here. They haven't looked bad, but just a few silly mistakes and the Rabbits just putting them to the sword. Yeah, they make you fucking pay." Conan says, "For years, the Titans' predominant attribute has been bombing tries. If they had any fans, they'd be beyond frustration." Anthony said, "The Bunnies are coming on strong at the right time." Indeed they are. And Dan said, "Really good defensive resolve from the Bunnies. Great line speed and kick chase. With their top 17 all available for selection next weekend, it's going to be a cracking game against Penrith." You are right, sir. That's us.
The West Tigers, 24, defeated the North Queensland Cowboys, 16, up there at the Abattoir in North Queensland. The Tigers, 24, came through tries to Stefano Otoikamanu, Ken Mamalo, Kelma Tulahi, and Tommy Talau. Dewey, 4 of 4 conversions. The Cowboys, 16, came through tries to Nanai, Dearden, and Hampton. Holmes, 2 conversions, and that's it. And I did not even see this game because I listened to it on the radio. I was on the way driving up to Sunny Coast for the next game. So, Glennie, it seems like it got pretty tight and nerve-wracking there at the end.
Oh, second week in a row where I've taken a breath after a game was over that we'd won. Thought to myself, thank fuck, that's finished, and moved on with fairly minimal excitement. Tigers did some good things. They did some Tigers things. The Cowboys got a sniff at a couple of stages and put a couple of impressive energy plays on and put points on the board. And they scored a late try, which fucking opened the door or gave them a bit of a sniff. And then it was a bit of NRL chaos, as you put it, to close out, to the point where they were trying to take a penalty kick quickly, and they Holmes rushed it, hits cannons off the fucking post, skews out to the Cowboys' right. It looks like they're going to pick it up and score a fucking try. It was like 2011 all over again. There's certain parts of the Tigers' effort, as I said, that were quite good. There was far too many that were poor, and they just floated in and out of the game energy-wise, and the Cowboys weren't great, and it looked like at certain stage they were down on troops as well. Obviously, Taumalolo didn't play, but it's just another one. It's just, to use a cliche, just happy to get the win and fucking, but there was nothing convincing about it. There was nothing that made me think, geez, these guys are really pumped to make the eight, or the chances that they have of make the eight, and they're really driving hard after it, which is pretty fucking depressing. And they're winning these shit games against shit teams, which is and very unconvincingly, which is even more depressing. But they're still there, and you know, we've lost games due to shit effort this year that we really should have won. So I'll take it.
But surely that's got to be an improvement on what you're used to in terms of, you know, going in this stage of the season, trying to make the finals. These are the ones you normally lose.
Absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
This is your year.
I know what you're doing. I don't like it.
I mean, I think as like a West Tigers fan who's, you know, just knowing what we know about the West Tigers, no need to rehash all that again, but why you describe it as depressing, you know, when you know, chalking up wins, no matter how you come by them.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you take them, you know, gratefully
because you know,
into your hands and you hold them tight and you never let them go.
You also have an understanding of what's happening. And I just feel like there's a crescendo of a match coming at some point before this season is out, and these wins that I describe as depressing will be the things that help us finish ninth. And then I've got an entire off season, probably next year, putting up with more bullshit. That's why I describe them as depressing. They've got some tests. I don't know that they're going to pass any of them based on what they've shown over the last 2 weeks.
So are you saying you would rather finish lower than ninth just to get the meme value removed from the table placing?
Oh, if we finish lower than ninth, it would mean that we've completely capitulated over these next 3 games, which is fucking appalling in itself. So I just want to scrape into the eight, and that's what I want to do.
If you finish ninth, mate, it does... Going from 13th to 9th is not capitulation. That's actually massive improvement on where you are right now.
That's it.
What are you talking about?
Fuck ninth. I don't want to finish ninth.
Do you have anything to add to that one, Stepdad?
No, not at all. How can I add to that? Liam said, is Darius the defensive coach for Val Holmes? Oof. That's a fucking damning assessment.
Oof.
Hayden
said, he's well, not a member of the Tigers, but this.
No.
Val?
Mm.
I don't think he's a good fullback choice.
No.
You know? In what other sport, right? Or what other fucking job can you be great at something, fuck off and do something else for a long time, and come back to a completely different skill set?
Mm.
Like if you're a dentist,
yeah,
right? You're a dentist.
It's gonna and you be fucking fuck
off,
brilliant.
You fuck off to America to become a fucking
chiropractor.
Gynecologist.
What do Americans pump out? I don't know, a gun salesman.
Evangelist. Fucking,
that's it, you know?
A tele-evangelist.
Then you come back and you go, oh, brain surgery. Might give that a crack. Well, you know, I did stuff in medicine. I had fucking things that I sterilized and I pressed the button and they went, and I'm sure there's some fucking similar things over here. Let me start cracking some scones. The fuck? Why is Val Holmes all of a sudden a fullback after he fucked off and tried to do gridiron?
Playing fullback for the Cowboys is akin to brain surgery. You heard it here first.
I think it's like a chicken and egg sort of puzzle where it's like, why does Val get $1 million? Because he's a fullback. Why is Val a fullback? Because they're paying him $1 million.
Yeah, okay.
And you don't pay $1 million for wingers.
Yeah. Jesus fucking Christ.
You know.
Hayden said, well, it was a win for the Tigers, but there's still a huge gap between our good and worst. It's either we're half decent or absolute garbage, no in between. They almost gave another highlight reel, not for the replays, but for the season finale of Tiger Town by nearly tiger-essing a 12-point lead.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's Joey, what I'm talking about.
Joey said it was painful watching this game, one, because of the Tigers, but two, because of the mistakes from the Cowboys. Yes, that would have been fucking death for you. And the biggest Tiger said, it's great to see we've come so far. We are now a team that gets Noffa junk time tries scored against us. Oh, the circle is complete. That's us.
All right. The mighty Manly Sea Eagles 56 defeated the Parramatta Eels 10 at Sunshine Coast Stadium. And this one, Manly had a hat-trick to Ruben Garrick, a double to Moses Suli, also tries to Brad Parker, Tommy Turbo, Dylan Walker and Jason Saab. And Hamole Olakau'atu, Garrick 8 of 10 conversions. The Eels tries to Opacek and Blake with one conversion to Clinton Gutherson. First thing is my first time that I've been to Sunshine Coast Stadium since it was called Sunshine Coast Stadium. I think the last time I went there it was like a Quad Park or something like that. But up at Kiwanis there or Bock Arena, wherever they call it. Since then they put a grandstand up there and it's great. It's a great place to watch footy. The grandstand is kind of elevated, like it's probably like 2 meters high before you start getting to the seat. So everywhere has like a good view of the action. It's not like sitting in row two of at Suncorp where you're right down on ground level and it's kind of hard to get an overview of what's going on when the play moves down like the other opposite end of the field or whatever. So yeah, great place. Hills on three sides, on the two short sides and on one of the long sides, and the stand's great. I was sitting in the stand, excellent, and it's great to go to a ground that holds, like on a good day, like a maximum, I think probably about 12,000 people. Then you've got the COVID thing, so that's a maximum of 6,000, and it felt pretty full, to that kind of level. Mm. But it's great to be able to go to a suburban footy ground and park within like 150 meters of the ground and walk to your car and then walk to the ground, good. Go watch the footy and then walk out of the ground and then walk to your car. It takes 5 minutes and then, maximum, and then you're in your car and you're away again.
By the end of the game, you know everyone in the stadium by name.
Including 13-year-old Rangers.
Fucker. They do the way they do the COVID stuff though, is like farcical though, because they've over the PA all the time, like every 5 minutes in the game. It's like, if you have food and drink, you need to sit down when you're consuming it. And like, that's great. And you need to wear your mask in the stadium, except when you're eating or drinking. and they sort of saying, and stay, you know, stay distant, you know, like 1.5 meters from people. And you're like, okay, the way they did the seatings, it wasn't like in like parties, then with like a couple of seats between them, then the next party and a couple of seats. They basically just had sold tickets to every other row. So the first row was shoulder to shoulder full. Then the second row was empty, third row full, and we were in the third row. And so you had like a blank row in front of you and behind you, but you still got the, you know, randoms you don't know sitting like directly next to you, which kind of defeats the purpose a little bit. But yeah, awesome ground. And like, if you live up that way, or if your team, if you live in Brisbane and your team is playing at Sunshine Coast Stadium over the next couple of weeks, definitely recommend to get up there, because it is an awesome place to watch footy. They need a bigger screen and, you know, scoreboard sort of thing. But it's just a great ground to watch footy. Game itself, super happy with the way they played. I mean, there's always a danger with, you know, sort of big emotion games or against the Storm the week before, that, you know, there could be like a letdown coming into the next week. But I think because Parramatta were also a team, and it was an important game to sort of determine the, you know, the sequence of the top four, and if they could get into the top four, you know, they were up for it. And it's the best start they've had to a game, like probably first 30 minutes is the best first 30 minutes of a game they've played in, fuck man, I don't even know, years. I mean, it was just, you know, they had the ball for the first 10 minutes before Parramatta even got a set in possession, pretty much. They'd had two tries on the board by that time. The machine just hummed into gear and started to resemble a little bit more of what the final form should be when stuff really counts. Daly had an amazing game, but Parramatta seemed to be so jittery about what was going to happen with Tom and Daly and anybody else that they seemed to try this weird sort of jamming in thing, except they were jamming in and not really cutting the play off. And so, you know, Schuster and Tommy and Kieran Foran are just throwing fucking lollipops over on the left, and Daly's throwing them over on the right-hand side, and guys like Sivo were just getting absolutely fucking roasted the whole time. I mean, the kicking game was on point as well. I mean, there were a couple of kicks that just needed to find that extra meter or two and a bounce the right way to get 40-20s. But even when they weren't 40-20s, they were sort of sat a meter out, you know, from the corner post, and, you know, Mike Asivo would have to retreat and bring them back. And he got so worn out by the whole thing that at a point there, it just, you know, the one thing he's known for is to be like a barnstorming runner of the ball. He's not like super fast. He's not like a threat under the high ball or any of that sort of thing. He's just a giant guy that barrels through people. And he had to turn around and run so many times that he just lost all will to do anything. And he was just like surrendering in tackles by about the 30 minute mark as well. And so it was just a excellent coaching, excellent execution of everything. And I mean, like, I wasn't super happy I wasn't super happy with the tries they scored in the last play of each half, but otherwise it was like it was a 10 out of 10 performance, 9.9 out of 10 performance.
So you're now an NRL coach and you're going up against Manly. What's your game plan for Tommy?
Break his cheekbone. I would almost have it. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, they tried that, and it didn't seem to stop. It didn't seem to stem the tide at all.
Do a proper job.
Look, I would just echo what, you know, you hear guys like you know, the Storm players and Craig Bellamy said, is just like, you're not going to stop him. You just have to try and limit the damage. But the thing is, you know what you're going to do as well. And I think that to treat him, I don't, you know, for want of a better term, just like, yeah, treat him with less reverence and like less, like, you know, less respect, because half the time teams get so head fucked by Tommy.
I agree.
That when they run that play out on the left. They can either go out the back to Tommy and then he goes over the top to Ruben and it's a try. Or when they see the guy rushes up on Tommy, they go short to Schuster, or, you know, they do something else. Or they cut Tommy out and go straight to Brad Park or something like that. But it's the fact that Tommy's in the line all the time, it just head fucks them into making bad decisions. And so I think you need to just take him off the pedestal as an opposition. And so like, it reminds me of that old Origin meme when the New South Wales trainer's running on the field in Origin going, walkers on, and like as if he was like this fucking boogeyman that that everyone had to be absolutely terrified of. He's like that.
And that's the presence. Status he has in the game at the minute with his opposition players.
So my first thing would be just to try and like obviously accept the fact that he's super dangerous, accept the fact he's probably going to like lay on line break assist or something like that.
Yeah.
But just have a little bit less reverence for him and, you know, keep your eyes on everybody else around him and not just fixate. Because there are times when he doesn't touch the ball and the break still happens just because people are fixated on what he's going to do.
It's a great Nicholas effect. The guy...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So,
and I think,
but I mean, lucky. This game was like, yeah.
So yeah. I think we're like, because I haven't seen a player since Inglis whose very presence did to defenses exactly what you've described. And now we've got two of them in the league. You know, you've got Tommy and Latrell's doing the same thing at South. So,
yep.
As much as Penrith will be the fucking champions this year. I would like to imagine there's an alternate universe somewhere where there's a Manly Souths grand final. Because fuck.
And finishes like 46-44 or something. And then that would truly be the poster child grand final result for the Volandis era though, right?
Mm.
Like just massive amounts of points on either side. A close game, but massive amounts of points on either side.
Because there's been four four sin bins per team. So there's just no forward pack.
I tell you, this Parramatta though, absolutely and completely head fucked.
Yeah.
Their attack is nothing. Is absolute nothingness.
Some of the errors they made, though, to watch. Fucking appalling. Like for a team that has been in the top eight all year, and at certain, you know, has had the type of attack that in some games has been fucking outstanding. There was probably half a dozen occasions where someone dropped it from first receiver or dummy half, or it was fucking atrocious.
Yeah, and it permeated like the entire, like Mitchell Moses had that drop when he was just sort of going for a kick and he just dropped it. And Mitchell Moses was so timid, especially in that first half. I think he had like one touch or something.
Mm.
Or was it one run in the first half? It was just not good enough. And if he's not doing anything for them, then who's doing something for them? Their attack was just like, it was just like one out the whole time. And like, I was sitting in an area where there were tons of Para fans, and it was funny. Like, they're just calling out when they got a penalty towards the end of the first half, and I think it's like 26-0 at this point or something like that. They're yelling out and they're starting a chant to take the two.
Fuck.
And just to get something on the board. And like, that's it. Like, that's where they were mentally. Mm. And the team didn't seem like it was any better. And like, just on a. And you know, Brad Arthur, he doesn't have any answers. You see the press conference afterwards. He accepts that it's all gone bad, but he doesn't have any answers. And like, you can't sack a coach this week for the results because that side is still going to be at worst sixth and have a finals campaign. But you know, I don't think he's the guy for them.
I don't think he gets past Mad Monday, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Unless they pull some miraculous, they win the first round and then they, you know, they go deep into the finals somehow.
I think
I just don't know how it can happen.
Regan Campbell-Gillard has been a massive out for Para, and they've really felt his presence in the middle. And now Madison will be gone for probably, I'd say, somewhere around 3 or 4 weeks, could be more.
If he's gone for 4 weeks, he's gone for the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they won't get out of week one.
Then on top of that, you've got Moses and Gutherson, regular season wonders, and they'll get your wins right up until the pressure comes on and then they disappear. And, you know, I think Nathan Brown, you know, there was some, you know.
Well, he got hooked.
Yeah, exactly. See, he was being viewed as a leader, you know, by effort alone. You've got no Reed Marnie like the team is completely void of any leadership on the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it shows.
Yep. Yep. And like to show how timid they were, I mean, like I wasn't nervous about the result, but I thought this would be a close, tough game because we had two of our first pick props out, you know, through injury, and then Kepi as well, who's out, you know, with a partner having a child, and so like having the having three of our forwards who would be in the 17 every week, you know, when fit, out of the side against a side like Parramatta, who, you know, if nothing else, can hold their own in the middle. I thought, well, you know, we'll see it. But they were timid and rolled from like minute one.
Mm.
And they were never in this contest at any stage. I mean, there were some times that in the second half particularly where Manly had to do a lot of defense and repeat sets and stuff, but they didn't do anything with it. They couldn't, you know, it was impressive, to be honest. And I mean, just on like a trollish note, I mean, Parramatta being one of the ye olde enemies of Manly, it's always satisfying to get a massive win like that. And to also to have it the week after Gutho's got the $1 million talks going on and Junior Paulo's written a letter to the fans about this and that, and the media was all on the eels about how they're going to lift the seasons on the line and all that sort of thing. To the aforementioned, to Nathan Brown getting hooked from being so terrible, it was just super satisfying to see the way that it all panned out. And that try that Manly scored off the kickoff in the first half, where it went out to Garrick, and within 2 meters he threw Gutherson off and then dropped Moses as well.
Mm.
Is just going to be one of my favourite moments in the history of rugby league, because I mean.
Mm.
Who's the spax? Yeah, get up, you cunts. Who's the fucking spax now? Like, who's the spax?
Where
now?
Were you?
And Ruben Garrick with his if, yep.
It's late in the game. Look, the game's gone. The game's absolutely fucking gone. And Parramatta are on a last. I think it's a last tackle, close to scoring or close to the line. And Gutherson's at dummy half and throws a fucking shocker of a pass, and Bryce Cartwright knocks on.
Yeah, and did you see Gutherson's reaction?
That's my thing. Now, it was a fucking horrific dummy half pass. I've seen players go off at themselves. Like I've seen internalized frustration. And that didn't look like internalized frustration. Were you close to that, or were you the other corner?
No. Well, I was right on halfway. So either like, you know, try line wasn't that close to me. If looking at the field in front of me, I was probably like 2 meters to the right of halfway.
Yeah, okay. Fair
so, enough. Pretty much right on. I was right by the tunnel.
But anything other than hand in the air, sorry mate, that was a shit pass.
Yeah, that got me.
And it fucking grates on me.
You know, we had a good
chat. Who's going in and putting hits on and who's dying on the field for that guy?
Mm.
Like honestly.
Yeah. So,
no way.
Look, here we go. We chatted about the fucking Rugby League Players Association. All these problems are fucking solved if they allow clubs to negotiate non-guaranteed conditional contracts. You know, yes, Clint.
Yeah.
We'll give you $1 million a season. Conditioned on you playing at least this many games and the team making it this far into the finals at minimum. And if you do all of this stuff, then we'll pay you that. He's fucking happy. Parramatta's happy.
Like someone working an office job in, you know, with, you know, sales targets and things like that, with KPIs that need to be met that trigger bonuses and lead to a certain amount of money.
Yeah. Anyway. Parramatta.
Yeah. We had the situation with Madison, which, just to compare and contrast with the Corey Harrier and Ira one earlier in the round.
Yeah.
Madison knocks Brad Parker out cold, blatant shoulder charge, high, and, you know, shoulder contact straight to the face, no arms wrapped. Didn't check on him at any point. Was in denial that he'd done anything wrong, even to the point where he'd been sent. Was you know, looking like in absolute stunned disbelief the whole way off. Still didn't believe it, even when I told him at high volume from a meter and a half away from him. Just what sort of a, just what sort of human I thought he was, and I don't think that he's written a long remorseful note to Hank Scorpio on Instagram either. So, you know,
that's a shame.
Just another example of fuck Parramatta. Paradise matter. Get all in your feels.
Oof, Jesus Christ. Couldn't
happen to a better team.
Jesus Christ. Socials on that one. Ben, to tell me Michael Oldfield is not playing on the win for Para and it's just a hallucination from the COVID jab. I can't be seeing this.
I love Oldie. What a shame he had to play for those cunts.
That's it. Matt said, I think the last 35 minutes has saved Para salary cap 2023 quite a bit.
Word.
Dean said, will Gutherson call himself a fuckwit? Oh, there you go. The nation saw and they've answered. Stephen said, oh my goodness, Manly upticking more than Souths. Also, that coastal ground is likely copping some unusually salty swimmers from one happy spectator from a pretty decent podcast. So essentially,
he is
saying you had a wank in the ocean.
Yeah.
So, well, come on.
I had an 80 minute wank in row D of the fucking of the main stand section 3.
What you know about rolling down in the deep?
whilst your brother was sitting next to you. Hey, you do you, man.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. So, I got no shame in my game, Glenny. Your mileage may vary.
It's called the Brady Bunch. Haven't you ever done it?
Oh, wow. What a surprise you jumped in.
You get bonus points if there's someone named Alice there.
You're fucking Jesuit, Glenn.
Next.
See, all this time I thought you were fucking racist with those white sheets with holes in them, but turns out that's just how you have sex.
Fuck, if your eyes are good enough to see holes that I put my dick in, mate, you're in the wrong place, son.
Anthony, I hate to see teams down on troops, but Madison's hit was bad, and this is just a pure rout. Para gone, goodbye to the season. Manly are now the entertainers. There you go. Stephen said, only need to get two more sent, we might capture our nines form from a few years ago. Daniel said, playing with 12 men and Para win the last 2 minutes. Suck shit, Manly, you losers. And good friend of the show, yourself. Mr. Hectic says, as much as I hate to say it, Manly's attack is a thing of beauty. There you go. Leave it on a positive for you.
And shout out to Ryan as well, who was at the ground as well and came up and said hello after the game. As we were laughing at the Parramatta Eels supporters. And yes, good times. But yeah, Sunny Coast Stadium, fucking highly recommend. I haven't checked the draw ahead for other teams, but I think they're going to be doing some more games there because they seem to be making a more active move to share the games around a bit. Like I see Rockhampton's getting one. They're sending one up to Toowoomba. They send which is great. And so I presume that, you know, there are going to be more Sunny Coast games. So if you're in Brisbane or Southeast Queensland and your team's playing up there, highly recommend. Especially if they fucking, you know, dump 56 on the old enemy. The Warriors, 24, defeated the Doggies, 10 at, I'm going to call it Dolphin Stadium because these brand names are bullshit. Warriors, 24, tries to Josh Curran, Reece Walsh, Jazz Tavanga and Edward Cossey. Walsh, 3 conversions and a penalty goal. The Doggies, 10, came through Shoop and Bockenbohr, Avarillo, 8 conversion. I have a comment on this game.
Go for Lenny.
It. This game was fucking AIDS.
Next. Yeah, it was atrocious. I will say that Reece Walsh has got a lot of headlines this year and he did some great things in this game, but Josh Curran might be the Warriors' most important player. For the next couple of seasons.
What a great game.
Yeah, he's bounced around from a couple of clubs, but seems to have settled in at the Warriors and just a footballer, eh? Just impressed with how he went about his game. And
super unheralded footballer as well. Yeah. Did you see his post-match interview?
No, I didn't.
Like, he was so sort of jittery, and I'm wondering if it's the first time he's ever had on camera. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, because he was like deer in the headlights. Like, he seems like a super, you know, super nice guy and excited guy, but like he was trying to put his cliches together on the fly and just had no experience doing it. And so he was mixing them up and stuff, but like I'm backing him. He was great.
I think if you look across this Warriors team, you know, and again, these are the guys that over the last couple of years had everything go against them. You know, everything go against them. But there's now enough youth and exuberance in this team that I think the old heads will come along a little bit. Like, you know, look at someone like a James Tamau. What's he missing this year that he had for his previous couple of seasons? That, like, actual
high-quality teammates.
Yeah. But...
A team without Luke Brooks and David Nofaluma and...
Well, seriously, look at everyone...
I just fucking said that.
Look at every one of the Tigers that he's playing alongside. They're all like, far enough into their careers. They're all there. They know how things go. And, you know, whereas he was playing previously with this young, exciting group of fucking players. And I think this Warriors team has an exciting couple of years ahead of them. If they can all stay fit and healthy and all stay together, I'm not saying that they're going to go shaking Melbourne and Penrith next year. But I think if they can put two or three good seasons together with the bulk of this playing group and spend some quality time getting their combinations up, there's enough humility and drive in them that there's some good times ahead. So, Dogs fans, you're absolutely fucked. You've got no hope. I'm not even there for an offload.
The sad thing about everything you said about the Warriors is correct. However, historically, they've shown that they will not do that at all, and they'll blow it up every 2 years.
And you made a point about staying fit and healthy, and their halfback for next year will be Sean Johnson. So,
yeah.
Look, I've had my say on Sean Johnson. I don't know why they brought him back, but fuck. Can only hope. Do we need to go much into this game? Like, the Dogs are just fucking dreadful.
Nah, they're fucking atrocious. And I don't know that we need to say too much about the next game either. It was fucking worse.
The next game was actually worse. I mean,
let me at least Morton Daly Stadium.
They went from Morton Daly Stadium. They went from having Manly booked to play there 2 weeks ago, and then the plague cancelled games at the venue that way. And so they've gone, oh great, let's give some footy to the people. The absolute Monday night football classic doubleheader.
This is the olden day Para and Sharks on a Monday night.
Para Newcastle.
Para Newcastle.
Para Newcastle Sharks, the tri series. Yeah. Race to the bottom.
So Terry the Dogs fan said football intelligence. It's just not a Bulldogs thing. Isaac, my wife said Reece Walsh's eyebrows are on point. There you go.
Yes, they look.
Sees his lashes.
When he looks at the camera for the interviews, it's like he's just looking straight down into your special place.
Yeah,
with those sexy eyes. Yeah. I mean, he's the new Daniel Mortimer.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
If you want to bring an old one back,
isn't it? That is a blast from the past.
He's a modern day Killing Me Softly. Except it's not with his song. With those dreamy eyes. Jason said, another week, another below par performance. I'm certain that the players train in isolation because there's no cohesion out there. There doesn't seem to be a game plan. I'd hate to think of what the ratio of tackled in opposition 20s to tries scored is. This is not a quick fix with a couple of new signings. There is nothing here to build on. The end of the season cannot come quick enough. Fuck. Look, I get it's frustrating. I would suggest that there's been improvement in that dog side in moments, as in now. There are moments in a game where they will take over a period of it, and it might only be, you know, 2 or 3 minutes, but they can get the ball down, they can get some repeat sets, they can try and build some pressure, you know, so there's improvements. But they're still trash.
Yeah.
You should feel bad.
But then their coach gets up in the press conference after the game and blames the referee. And basically harps exclusively on that try they had disallowed, where I can't remember who it was that put the hit on, but the Warriors player drops the ball, Doggies player hits him with a shoulder charge, high shot. Sorry, not shot. High shot, late, high, knocks him down. The try goes on. Fantastic, fantastic. You know, tap and you know, tap on. I think it was what's his fucking name? Biondiotto. Great try, looks to be scored. Gets pulled back. Let's look at what's happened here. Try gets disallowed because there's a penalty against the Doggies because he's hit the guy, you know, high and late. And Barrett decided in the press conference that he had seen it. He looked at it. He looked at the tape, and it was neither high nor late. And so that should have been a try. And the fact they weren't awarded that try really took away the momentum and cost them the game, and ultimately ref's fault.
There you go.
So
now Tim's come in with some fucking historic comments. He said, the last time Ryan James played at Dolphin Oval, he took the head off the Redcliffe captain in a semi-final. Now, I have no idea what game he's talking about because he hasn't given us any other information, but I'll just take that on face value, believe it's true, and that's a fucking awesome piece of history. Well done.
Yes. And it's funny how with the Doggies, the two Canberra boys were among their best players and actually they were kind of riling up the troops, you know, like get around the boys kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, man, these guys have only been here for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And they're sort of more like, you know, they're more, the boys in the squad than the ones that have been there the whole time.
You know, again, here's the thing. Take normal fucking life. If you had another office or another location in your company you had to go and work out of for a month, or they go, hey, we need you on secondment here to go and do this, you know, you go and shake things up. You're the new guy in town.
I think it's more like if you're the type of guy that is seen to be the level of expendability that you can go and be a loner to another side when your own team is actually challenging for a spot in the finals.
Yeah, true.
Then perhaps your contract prospects going forward aren't as great as you may have previously thought they were, and it might be time to impress another club with the chance of landing a job when it all goes pear-shaped.
Yeah. Right, on to the next one.
Okay, so the Knights 16 defeated the Sharkies 14, same venue. The Knights had tries through a double to Inari Tuala, three Jake Clifford penalty goals and a conversion. Defeating the Sharks 14 with tries to Ramian and the Mutt Trindle, two conversions and a penalty goal.
Another couple of sides that aren't showing any signs of wanting to make the eight. Unfortunately for the Knights and the Sharks.
It appears the Knights are almost certainly, aren't they?
Mm.
The Knights appear to be one of the most likely out of that chasing pack.
Mm.
True. Unfortunately for both these sides, the Knights and the Sharks, they don't have a TV show being made about their season, so they won't have embarrassment as motivation, which is advantage Tigers. So fuck both of these teams. This game is rubbish.
I want to give some credit to the Knights for the first minute of the game, where they came up with the ball, you know, off the kickoff, and that work to put Tuala over in the corner within like the first sort of 30, 40 seconds of the game was fucking surgical. And I actually thought for a minute, wow, the Knights, when they've got, you know, their spine kind of intact, yeah, they can put it together. They can put it on. And the next 79 and a half minutes served to dissuade me of that notion.
Yeah.
Neither team wanted to win this game.
They did.
It was just the frustration and the mistakes and the good ball situations that were just thrown away by just basic shit. It was such a frustrating thing to watch.
And to the Knights, if we're going to look at something positive out of that, I'm looking at that combination between Best and Tuala.
Yeah.
You would fucking hope at this stage of the season, I know he had a lot of the season off, but I expect more from Mitchell Pearce. To be that guy that gives them the boost when they need it. To be the guy that says, well, fuck, if we're doing stupid things in our handling shit, then I'm going to make sure that we're playing the game down their end of the field.
I feel like the playing group would get that out of Ponga, not Pearce.
Yeah, well, again, Ponga's not ending sets.
No, just saying the regard in which the two individuals seem to be held by their peers in that playing group.
Yeah, correct. But if you're Pearce then, recognise that. There's no fucking shame in not being the hype guy that they look to.
Mm.
but have Ponga on site saying, you know, every fifth, I'm going to need you to be down there chasing. I understand you're the fucking fullback and it's going to mean some extra work for you, but I need you to lift and they need to follow you if you're not going to do it yourself. But that combination between Best and Chuala, that's got some legs.
Yeah,
and it's not going to win them finals games, and it's not going to, you know, really improve their position on the ladder. But Best to me is the most exciting centre prospect that I've seen in a long time, and in an often forgotten position.
Yeah,
he's doing exactly what a good centre needs to do. He's come in. He's fast. He's strong. He's got good footwork. And he understands that fucking moment where he's got him in two minds.
Mm.
And he understands that game of, if I can make these cunts try and second guess themselves and think what I'm going to do, and he's got the skills to put his winger in as well, that's a fucking combination for the future.
I feel like Ponga creating space and then giving Best room to create either for himself, or as you say, to put Chuala over, like to create opportunities for Chuala. I think that's a well that the Knights in games can keep going to, and it's going to bear fruit.
Yeah,
you know, consistently as they build that combination. So yeah, completely agree with what you're saying.
Mm. You want to add anything to this one, Nate?
No. I tell you,
lovely.
I was well into the cans by the time we got to this game, and they made it slightly more bearable.
Yeah, good. All right, Greg said, being a Sharks fan playing the Knights is like going to the pub and telling your mates the next day you picked up a 10, took her home and fucked her brains out, but she was a 3, and she rejected you. Danny said, very average game, but I'll take a win. Also, no, we were celebrating women in mining round. Well, you know, that's how we celebrate women in league. We give them a round. We don't do anything else, ever. And then just spend a week where all the commentators talk about mums in tuck shops. That seems to be how we celebrate women in league.
But, I mean, like, the reason, the thing that you're missing there is, though, is the reason that the Knights were wearing their high-vis jerseys is because, that organisation has long held the belief that women belong deep underground and, as held by,
Don't they sell the beanie merchant? Yeah, isn't that?
Yeah.
What's it called? Bruises for beanies, bashings for beanies for bashes,
beanies like for that. Beatdowns.
That's it. Yeah,
beanies for beatdowns.
Yeah. That's it. Nice dome covers for Dom Violence. Fucking how good. Joe said after socials. After seeing the Knights come out wearing that shit mining jersey, I expected them to French fry when they should have pizzaed. Much to my surprise, the Sharks played worse than the Knights and we got a win. Fuck yeah. Up, up, bitches. That's the socials for that one.
Right. Well, you know, that's full time for episode 425. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in many ways. Go to thisweekinleague.com/links and you can grab a link to our social media communities, ways to consume the show and all the other goodness, and our Patreon, of course. If you'd like to support the show, best way, hit up our Patreon, patreon.com/TwillNation. You can also drop us a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Just tell a friend. All that shit is amazing. I want to give a shout out to our newest wonderful patron, Tom B. Thank you so much, sir, for coming on board. Make sure you go through the posts for your level and make sure you are getting the most out of your subscription, because we appreciate shit out of you, my man. Do you fellas have anything else you'd like to add before we pull the pin for this evening?
I'm excited for our live Tiger Town companion.
Oh, it's going to be wonderful.
This week's going to be... They're going to have the Penrith game in there. You beat Penrith, Glenn.
It's very illegitimate.
Are they really that going to be that far through, do you think?
Well,
it must be getting close,
I don't know. I just saw the ads for it, and they're playing Penrith in the ads.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Okay. I haven't seen the ads for this episode coming up.
Yeah.
Okay, that explains it. All right, well, there you go. So, I mean, like,
it was probably eight rounds.
Real illegitimate joy for you.
It was probably eight rounds between wins, so...
Yeah. That's true. That's true.
What are you going to be like?
The season's getting away from us.
Can't wait.
All right. On that note, fellas, I'll talk to you all. Hopefully, I may talk to you guys on tomorrow night. Otherwise, see you for the Wednesday one.
Later.
Okay. See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.